Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live from Sacred Restaurant. How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as...
What's going on, everybody? Primetime Profits, we're back. I'm back. Greg held down the fort while I was gone. The Bulls fire Tom Thibodeau, got killed by LeBron. LeBron's encroaching Michael Jordan territory with his play. What is happening in this awful world of sports that we live in now? This sucks. Everything sucks. I hate life. I hate the Bears. I hate John Fox. It's everything is just like unraveling, except for the Blackhawks. They just turn into the Spurs of the NHL and they're taking over. But that's Greg who's going to talk in a few. The horrible intro we've had forever. Well, not the music. The music's good, but what I say is stupid. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, no, but it's like it's technically if the Blackhawks win, that's still another title. So it's like every year that LeBron wins and we screw it. Actually, that's literally happened. Every year LeBron wins, the Blackhawks win.
Oh my god! Oh like, my god!
This is like another. Because think about it, like you won in 2012 and then that was 2010. Never mind. But still, you know, against the Spurs and then. Like every time we get an NBA pick, like, dead wrong, the Blackhawks come and bail us out so we can keep the streak alive.
Exactly. And I didn't, you know, for people who think I pick the Blackhawks all the time, I didn't pick them last year. They didn't look like it. That's a team I look at, you know, a couple of weeks into the season, and I'm like, yeah, they got it. They got it this year. But they're coming up against a team that's going to be hard to beat. But we'll get into that in a little bit. I wasn't here for the meltdown in Cleveland, so... My thoughts on this overall thing is, A, Thibodeau has no clue what offense is. That it doesn't exist in his mind. Only defense and defense exist in his mind. There is no plays. Why is Derrick Rose isolating? Why were we doing that at some point? Why is Powell on the bench? Why did Derrick Rose only take 4 shots in the second half of that last game? That's ridiculous. That can't happen. Derrick Rose is still your best player. He's still your most dangerous player. I just don't get it. The entire thing sucked. LeBron hit that clutch shot, and now he can't miss in the big moments. It's like everything sucks. Like, that's the bottom line. If Thibodeau's gone, it sucks. Everything sucks. Ah, boom. That's the end of it. But Hoiberg, whatever the hell his name is not going to – I mean, he'll be a good offensive coach. I think the offense is pick and roll, basically. But – I worry it's going to be a Mark Trestman situation.
Yeah, that's basically what it feels like. It's like a modified edition of Trestman and Lovie, except for, like, Thibs is only Lovie, like, on offense where he doesn't adjust. So then his defense is, like, a never – like, his defense is, like Thibs' defense adjusts more game to game than, like, anything adjusts in sports. Like, that's all he does is adjust all the time. It's like people are like, hey, Thibs is stubborn, he doesn't adjust. Well, maybe, you know, offensively, yeah, he's still running 90 sets and they don't work. But defensively, like, he's the most – adjusting and just game to game, you know, film wise, like nobody adjusts and watches film and adjusts game to game more than Thibs. It's just in game where he struggles because I think it's something to do with not being able to see or just being assistant for so long. But he's gotten a little better at that this year. But for those who say he doesn't exist, or no, cool, he doesn't exist. Yeah, for those who say he doesn't exist, I think you might be right in the offensive side. But yeah,
you know, firing a guy like Thibodeau, it's. I mean. You can't justify firing, but you can force an offensive assistant on him. Like I would if Garpax is calling as much shots as they're going to call, I would think that would be possible. Maybe Thibs totally get. Well, the whole situation is just screwed up because if they leaked it at the All Star break that they were going to get rid of Tom Thibodeau, I can't even talk. But they were going to get rid of him, and you know, basically no matter what happened. So at that point, you put your team in a situation where it's dead coach walking. They all know most likely Thibodeau's going to be gone. So what are they playing for at that point? Yeah, if they win the finals, maybe he stays, which I would imagine he would stay if they won the finals. But that puts your team in a bad situation. They fired his assistant, who's now could win an NBA title with Steve Kerr. It just doesn't make any sense. You put Thibodeau up for failure because they wanted him to fail. They did not want him to succeed, despite everything they make it seem. And then Jerry Reinsdorf slams him on the way out. Like, come on. Like, Thibodeau is the top 4 all-time winning percentage. The guy is great. He's a great coach. There's 29 other teams going, what the heck? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, and those two say, like, you know, with – the whole Tom Thibodeau, but then in the playoffs he's not that good. Well, his playoff percentage, I think it's like without Rhodes he's like 45, and with Rhodes I think it's like 55 or something like that, winning percentage. But that's great in the playoffs. But I mean, you can't really break it game by game, because I don't care. I mean, like, it doesn't, like you could win in seven games all the way through and barely be over 500 and win the title. Like the percentage doesn't matter in how many games. Like, or you could, I mean, percentage-wise, you could sweep your way into the finals and then lose in seven, or you could win in seven all the way and win the finals. And it's like, that's a huge difference. But still, regardless, I think the Nate Robinson year, like, that was his craziest year, like, where he, you know, proved that he can win even without healthy players. And also, too, I think that's kind of been a thing with the Cavaliers this year, too, is that, honestly, you're better off doing the whole next man up, we're just going to run our guys into the ground and just work really hard, and just who's ever healthy is healthy. Because with the Cavs, that's what's working right now, because
yeah.
Tristan Thompson and, you know, everybody else, like, everyone's still getting worked really hard. Even Kyrie Irving with his, you know, knee problems and everything, like, that injured, like, limping squad was better and more prepared than this Bulls squad that was fully healthy. Like, that's just what happens when you don't play. So I think, you know, Garpax and everybody saying, I think the system works because, you know, everyone was healthy. Well, it didn't work because nobody was prepared at all. Like, you guys did worse than, like it was no different than any other year being all healthy or being, like, a limping squad. So I don't really see how that's really a good argument at all.
Yeah, that's the problem with that. It's like, you look at it, and they got further when Thibodeau ran everybody into the ground as hard as possible.
Yeah, it's like, or as far. Like, you get equally as far with the
team. Well, they got to the conference finals. They didn't even get to the
finals.
Well,
yeah. They ran into
LeBron.
Yeah,
you know,
still
the problem
same
is.
Story. That's my point. It's like, once
it just
you
came early.
Yeah, it's like, once you run into LeBron, you're going to lose in five no matter what. Like, that's what happened to Nate Robinson year. And then the year after that, they lost in the first round because they had absolutely nobody. But then that was a weird Joakim point-centered offense year, the 2014. That was last year, yeah.
That's my favorite year ever.
Yeah, but no, even Tibbs, you know, that was his hope as an offensive coach was, you know, the offense didn't exist at all that year. And then he sort of, again, in the last show, too, like, that's why I said Tibbs and Garpax can't coexist, because, you know, that 2011 year, like, Tibbs, like I said, like, he needs those garbage, like, defensive players. Like, that's just how the system works. Like, he needs, like, a superstar who can take over the offense so then the stupid sets don't matter and Kobe can just get the ball and just, you know, tell everybody, like, you know, get that foul out of the way and then just score. And that's, you know.
Just get the rebound if I miss and give it
back.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's that entire offense. And that's what it was kind of becoming with Rose there.
Yeah,
everyone was hitting shots. It was just Derrick Rose and not ready to be that guy again. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I fully believe that he's going to be. We'll get into this later on, but I'll cover that later. We'll stay on topic. But, you know, they didn't have anybody who could hit a shot consistently, and that was the problem. They didn't give the ball to Powell enough, and then Powell got hurt, which ultimately is, in my opinion, the reason they lost in five.
Yeah, that was definitely my nail in the coffin with Tibbs' offense, was not giving the ball to Powell enough, because the rest you could honestly have, like, an excuse for, because the missed shots and bad play sets, like, yeah, the play sets are bad, but at the end of the day, the player's making a dumb pass, and you got to read that. And also with the, you know, shots, like, a lot of those shots were wide open, and just literally nobody can shoot except for Dunleavy. He's the only three-point shooter, and Powell's the only consistent mid-range shooter. Nobody else on his team can shoot. That's another thing, too, when Hoiberg comes in, like, I don't think it's going to work that great because still nobody can hit a shot. And Jimmy's, like, kind of, I mean, other than defense, he's kind of really overrated because his shot's not that good. His three-point shot isn't very good at all. He can drive okay, but not that great. Like, you never see him get and ones on people ever. He drives and misses a lot. The only thing he's really good at on offense is driving and drawing the foul. That's really it. He's like an average shooter who can drive in and draw the foul and really good defense. Like, there's really not much more to him than he'll occasionally get steals, but that only makes you, like, you know, like a double-A player, you know, like he's, you know, above average, not great player. Like, that's pretty much it. There's not really too much with him that I don't really see, you know, re-signing.
Yeah.
In that case, you might actually want to let him go and try and get somebody else while he's, you know, so overvalued right now.
I don't know what's happening with Anthony Davis out there in New Orleans, but if he gets to free agency, I mean, that's somebody that if I was the Bulls, I would make a hard run at, because Derrick Rose, if this is assuming Derrick Rose comes back next year and he keeps getting better and he becomes a superstar player that he's shown flashes that he can still do, and he gets everything back in shape. That all comes together. I don't think Derek with a guard like Butler would be as good as him with a guy like Anthony Davis or just a big man in general. I feel like
that's
the kind of basketball that Rose plays would be much better with a big guy than it would be with another guard who's trying to do the same thing Rose is doing.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way. Not with. And I love Derrick Rose. I love Jimmy Butler. I don't think Butler's that. I don't think he's ever going to score 25 a game. Like I don't think that he's ever going to be James Harden. He's never going to be any kind of player of that level. He'll be close, but he's not going to be consistent enough. He doesn't. Like you brought up a good point. We always talk about. I'm like, oh, well, you know, his three was the same as James Harden. You go, yeah, well, he just doesn't take as many. Or he takes more, but he ends up coming, or whatever your line was. It's a fake percentage.
Yeah, it's a fake percentage because when you're forcing so many threes and you're, like, covered in stuff versus if you're only taking, like, one three a game and it's super wide open, like, you know, obviously the guy who's covered more is going to hit more, like with Steph Curry compared to, you know, guys like, you know, or like LeBron 1 year shot a high percentage. It's because he only shot, like, a three once every couple games because, you know, he had all day to shoot.
But I don't know. I want to re-sign Butler, but I just feel like he's gonna get a max from like a team like the Lakers or somebody who that's a team that would totally overpay for Jimmy Butler, no doubt. And I want him on the team because he's a great defender, but I think Snell eventually could be a better. Well, I'm actually not without Thibodeau. No one's gonna play defense, so I feel like you don't need Butler. But you can get guys who can play defense very well. They're out there.
Well, also, too, that's, like, the only reason to keep Butler is because he just guards, you know, LeBron really well. But it's, like, if Fibs isn't going to be there, then it doesn't matter. You're not going to guard LeBron anyway. So it's, like, if you're going to do this Drew Hoiberg thing, then Butler's kind of useless because he's just, like, this defensive driving in draw foul, like, shooting guard who can't shoot. So it's, like, you know, it's not going to work too well.
I'm going to look up the free agent list for 2015 offseason.
Yeah, speaking of losing guys, too, like, this is really
upset. Dunleavy's gone.
What was that?
Dunleavy's going to be gone, so there goes your one good shooter.
Oh, wow, this is like now literally nobody can shoot in the whole roster. But speaking of losing guys, Tibbs was really upset with Garpax for losing Korver and Omer for absolutely nothing in free agency and not trading him before. And even guys that did trade, like Luol Deng, they got nothing out of him. And if they want to trade him at the peak, actually get something or don't trade him and just hang on to him. And even, you know, that goes back to, I should have looked this up, but even like Ben Gordon, who lost him to free agency when he was at his peak, that's just like a Garpax thing. Kurt Thomas, too, and then he still played pretty well. And now Tom Thibodeau himself for absolutely nothing. So that's just basically like, honestly, with this whole, you know, like, situation, like, to summarize it, it's like when you first watch it, like, on the surface, like, it's like, oh, Thibodeau's horrible, like, and it's no offense, like, it doesn't work. But every single time, like, I you know, have that reaction, then every time I look into it deeper, then it's like I just heavily side with Tom Thibodeau, like, the more and more I research and the more I look into it, it's like the more the evidence points that direction. And then, like, to get into that, there was I think it was the 2012 draft, Tom Thibodeau and his staff were really pushing for Draymond Green, but Garpax instead drafted Marcus Teague, and they overruled Tom Thibodeau, who really wanted Draymond Green, was a huge Draymond Green fan. So yeah, that says a lot of things. For one, it says, you know, Thibodeau can scout talent better too, and also what I was saying before, how if you look at the Bulls draft picks before Tom Thibodeau got here, it's really not that good. And in the last show, I was almost starting to defend Dar Foreman because I thought, you know, well, technically he hasn't been here since 2009, but the whole John Paxson Gar Foreman ties has been going on like pretty much since Jordan left. So I take back what I took back and go back to what I originally said, how, you know, all those Bulls, it was an episode, a couple episodes ago, I think it was like three or four episodes ago, I don't remember, but the one where I was saying, where I read off all the awful draft picks from this Gar Pax team, like, honestly, I think pretty much everything I was saying then, I think it was the Should the Bulls Fire Tom Thibodeau episode, and I was going over that, and I was saying, like, honestly, I think, you know, all the things that I was warning about then is going to happen, where Joakim Noah is just going to be, like, this useless player now. Taj is going to be a useless player. Well, even with Fred Hoiberg alone, but especially with Tom Thibodeau gone.
Taj might survive that system. He'll be the only one who does out of that group.
That and Rose would just turn into like 2010 Rose or 2009 Rose basically, and all those players and all those, you know, great things that happen afterwards totally aren't going to happen. And the development too, like I was saying, is it really Garpax picks or is it Tom Thibodeau development? And I think it really is just like pretty much all Tom Thibodeau and Garpax are just like the ultimate NBA hell GMs. Like they'll make you good and get in the playoffs, but you're guaranteed to lose and guaranteed to never win the finals.
They want too much control. To where you can never get a real coach in there that's going to, you know, kind of take it, actually make the team his. Like, you can never bring a big-name coach like a And I don't know if I'm saying Phil Jackson would be the guy, but if you wanted to bring in him or a Popovich or somebody like that, those guys aren't coming here when Garpacks are here. That's not happening because they have every single coach they've had, it's ended ugly, and it's going to continue being that way. Like Hoiberg, he's a college guy, wants to get into the pros.
This is a Reinsdorf problem. This goes all the way back to the, you know, like top of the food chain here. Reinsdorf was the one who dismantled the whole, '98 Bulls and, you know, basically made Jordan want to leave and, you know, literally shoved Phil Jackson out the door. So it's like, this is just a Reinsdorf problem. Like basically the whole, what Jeff Van Gundy said is basically just proven right, you know, more and more in time. And also, too, you know, like Garpak never truly, like, recovered from that. Like, they're still pissed off about the injury of Reinsdorf. But that's because, you know, whenever you're truly called out, like, that's the reaction you get. Like, you get really pissed off and you just can't take it because you basically know it's true and you know it's your flaw. So you just go nuts trying to defend yourself. But pretty much everything he said has been spot on, and all these coaches, and even going back to the bad talent perception between Garpacks. They also, too, you know, the famous trade, they traded LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know if it's Jamarcus or LaMarcus, but traded him for Tyrus Thomas, too, which is another horrible. So you lost Tyrus Thomas and Aldridge. So it's just been, like, honestly, I don't have any faith in Garpacks at all. Like they can draft okay, but like I said, you're just going to be an NBA hell, and the drafting's going to get a lot worse since Tom Thibodeau. Like, the guys like Taj Gibson and those guys, like, have to be because of Thibs. And I think, too, like I'll stand by it all day. Like, Joakim is a bailout pick because of Tom Thibodeau. Like, he only got that good because Thibs, like, worked him into the ground. And a lot of those other guys, too, were bailout picks. Like, look at Tony Snell. He was completely underdeveloped and a bust up until his last year, and that was because Thibs taught him defense, so at least he had some attribute, because at least he could, you know, play good defense and then occasionally hit a three, and that's basically all he can do. And same with Jimmy Butler. I don't think Jimmy Butler would have been able to do anything either except for play defense because of Tom Thibodeau himself, too. So these picks, like, pretty much the sky is falling prediction from a few episodes ago, I think, is more eminent the more I research this.
Something I had to say about – oh, okay. You mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge. Anyways, yeah. He's an unrestricted free agent this year. If you got a guy like him, and you got a guy like you do – that was your impression of Gruden has gotten great. But if you picked up somebody like LaMarcus Aldridge, that'd be great. I'd rather – I don't need Jimmy Butler if we get someone like him. I would much rather have that guy on the team. I doubt they go that way. They're not going to swallow their pride and bring that guy back. Like, the Garpacks would never make that move. I mean, you got to find something. I want to sign Butler. I don't want to give the guy a max contract, though, because then you got Rose with a max contract who, you know, I think he's going to be good, but it's still technically a question mark. And then Butler, how much better is he actually going to get? I don't think he's going to get much better on the offensive end. Maybe he's always going to be someone who gets hot here or there. There's players out there you could bring in, but you have to find, well, Dunleavy's probably not going to be back with the Bulls. So you got to get a Kyle Korver, a J.J. Redick. In this kind of system, a guy like Redick would be perfect. You need a guy who can shoot consistently, because the Bulls don't have anybody. Like you said, nobody on this team can shoot consistently. It's Snell occasionally. You're right, our best shooter is a streaky shooter as well. When Dunleavy's on, he scores from all over the place.
Yeah, but he can only be on like one. I mean, and like
every third game.
Yeah, and like I said with him, like, he's smart with being on and off, but you can't rely on him to be on all the time. And when he is on, you know, Thibs is good with that. At least give him like the hot guy the ball and everything, but still.
I would like to see Danny Green's a free agent. I don't know how he'd play outside of San Antonio. He was never anybody without Popovich, but I wonder. If that came at a decent price, if that would be a good move to bring in for a shooter.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, like how you were with the Bears, like, you've lost a whole like nine sources. I'm like that with the Bulls right now. Like, it's going down ship all because I have absolutely no faith in Garpacks at all. That, you know, obviously going to the it gets worse because you're going to the, you know, they fire Ron Adams, obviously, as assistant, and then he goes on to be like assistant of the year for the Warriors, and that's the only reason. And now the Warriors have the best defense in the NBA. So it's like they're just complete idiots. Also, too, with the whole I wasn't going to bring this up before how – well, this is, too, like on the surface, I was like, oh, my God, Thibs, you had to let Thibs go with the whole Doug Collins thing. I wanted to bring
yeah.
Doug Collins on. But actually, John Paxson wanted Doug Collins before Thibs even came here. Like, when they were looking for coaches, that's what he wanted. So the whole Jason Goff who said, you know, oh, I'd like, trust me, that they weren't really trying to bring him on. It was just to, you know, force Thibodeau out. And it's like, okay, now that makes sense because they wanted him beforehand. But also, too, trying to find in my notes here. I have so many notes.
Yeah, no, that's, I keep getting lost in my notes when I go to say something.
Yeah, this is rough. It's
pretty bad. I got next, after this, is getting to the Hoiberg led Bulls. Because I got a bunch of stuff about that.
Okay, anyway, so that's who Paxson wanted, and then Gar Forman wanted Mike Brown, you know, and this was before the Lakers collapse.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I mean Mike Brown, the old Cavs coach. This is before the Lakers collapse, after the Cavs. So he fell for the Mike Brown thing and would have gotten Mike Brown disaster. Either that, or he wanted who's this other guy? This Lawrence Frank coach, who's some random bum. He's under 500. He's been under 500 his last six seasons, and he has a 450 career record as a head coach. It's like just some random bum coach. So you have two complete, like a total bust for one coach, another random bum, and then you have at least Paxson wanted Doug Collins, and then you know, Jerry Reinsdorf, who really liked Tom Thibodeau. So I'm just convinced Garpax are just complete idiots, and with picks they're just okay with drafting talent, and they're just absolutely horrible at bringing in coaches.
How many more coaches can those guys hire?
I know, like this is gonna be their fifth one, and it's been horrible the whole way through. I mean, it's like just been horrible. And Thibs wasn't even their coach, so they would have brought in that Mike Brown or that other bum. So what is honestly that they would have gotten fired right there, because he would have brought in Mike Brown, it would have been a total disaster, and then Garpax would have gotten fired. But the owner bailed him out, so it's like. We already know that Garpax are complete idiots. So now it's like you got to wait for management to get fired. So now we're just like, now to me, this was just like the Lovie Smith, Jerry Angelo era in 2008. And it's like, I'm just like not even a fan. We got to wait for it to be dismantled to rebuild again. That's where I'm at.
You know, when you look at it, a lot of like Todd Gibson, they said they described him as he's someone who needs to go and cool off before he can say anything. Like, he was pissed off that Tom Thibodeau got fired. I'm sure Derrick Rose was pissed off. I hadn't seen him say anything.
Yeah, Rose was just what I played last year, where he's like, yeah, I want Thibs back. You know, we have a personal relationship and everything and all the rest of it. So it's like, I'm sure, I mean, like you know, a lot of players are pissed, especially those defensive guys. I don't know where Jimmy Butler stands. Like based on
his attitude. He's just thinking money.
Oh, yeah, based on his attitude, I wouldn't be surprised if he was okay with Thibs leaving. But if he is, like, dude, like, you wouldn't even be – like, you would be a bum if it wasn't for Thibs. Like he's the one who gave you all the defense and everything. Also, too, there was a quote here from Joakim Noah, and it was he said one day we were working in the Berto Center, and Thibs was putting me through a grueling workout. And then he told him, you know, Thibs, if we were winning games, I would really, really hate you. And then he said, trust me, Joe, I feel the same exact way about you. But it's just to go into that, it's like Thibs basically is known for, like, you know, because he outworks all of his players. So he's, you know, there all the time. And anytime he sees a player shoot around or, you know, at the gym, he puts them through a crazy workout. You know, even Rose says and everybody else says, oh, my God, these are, like, the toughest workouts ever. And then one of the – in the Exeter interviews, that was, like, the main thing is they said, oh, we try to avoid Thibs, you know, for these workouts and stuff. And because, you know, they didn't want to be worked out so much. But it's like, hey, then that means you just have a shitty work ethic. Like, and that means you're never going to be as good as Jordan or Kobe, because those guys work harder than anybody else.
They run the gym all day.
Yeah, I know. So it's like if you're scared of getting a grueling workout, then you're just scared of success straight up. So then anybody who said that should have just been cut on the spot, because they're never going to get better.
They Garpax and Gar Forman should have been cut on the spot. I want the next coach, except Hoiberg's not someone who's going to punch Paxson in the face. I just, when it comes to Hoiberg, I don't really, I know it'll probably work. The offense is going to improve, no doubt, as long as they find somebody who can shoot. They're going to run a play. Instantly the offense gets better. But I don't know if he's kind of a younger guy. I just don't see it coming in and everyone biting into the system right away, unless he just has so much charisma or he's just such a believable person. But you think Powell is going to really listen to this guy overall? I mean, he might, but if it's not working, they might out of the gate. But as soon as they get some speed bumps, I don't know if Powell's getting the ball enough, they'll be fine. But if this is fast paced, Powell's not going to like that. If he's not, he can't set up in the post and do his thing. He's going to pout like he did in L.A. when Mike D'Antoni was there, and it just that's horrible. Then it just becomes another wasted contract.
Well, yeah, well, and the whole Boozer signing, like that's why I just have. I mean, do you think Thibs wanted Boozer like that? He's
no.
Boozer is the most anti-Thibs player there ever was. So like the Redbacks are just complete idiots. Like I'm just, and even Pau Gasol, they wouldn't have gone after him, but it was Rose, and Rose was the one who didn't want Teague at all. Like there's a lot of the players didn't want Teague, and Thibs was the one who was saying get Draymond Green, I want him. Like he was demanding as hard as he could that he wants Draymond Green, and obviously he was dead on with that. With that assessment, and then Garpax just overruled the team and Thibs for a complete bust, which sounds pretty typical for Garpax as you go back and look at those draft picks before Tom Thibodeau, and it's just awful all the way through.
You nailed it when you said the Bulls right now need to go back. Oh, you didn't say this, but I'm elaborating on what you said. They need to go back in time with a time machine and get, well, typically it's how you go back in time, but you get Ben Gordon at his prime, and you bring him out and put him with Rose. That would be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And
those two got along perfect. Like,
yeah.
Like you watch that 2009, like, stuff and back, or, you know, Rose's rookie year and his year before, like he left. Oh, my God. Like, that was
the hurt Ben Gordon game. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And then that Gordon, like, Celtics year. And Ben Gordon was more clutch than Rose. Like, I was watching Ben Gordon highlights a while ago. Like he had crazier shots than Rose even. Like his floor was even crazier than Rose. Like Ben Gordon was a man. Like, people forget how good he was offensively. And, you know, he's bad on defense, but it doesn't matter because you got Fibs' rotation and stuff. It totally worked. And plus, too, with like guys like Luol Deng, like his length makes up for Ben Gordon. That then you can, you know, you can switch it around, put Rose on the shooting guard and stuff, and it still totally works. But yeah, if, like that's exactly, or Rip Hamilton, that's another guy too. But
oh my God.
Like Garpax got rid of all the shooters, so it's like when we had Rip Hamilton in 2012, it totally worked out. Like if you had Rose, Ben Gordon, and Rip Hamilton, it totally worked. And also, you know, like we don't know, you know, Thibs probably wanted Kyle Korver because if he was the one who was so upset about. Garpax letting Korver go, you know, for absolutely nothing, and same with Omer. He was a big Omer fan and a Korver fan, so it's like, it's just, like, I'm just convinced, you know, Garpax are just total idiots. Like, Fibs, like, I still say, like, it's a very small chance for him to win a finals, and the only way he can is if he has, you know, like, he needs a superstar to bail out his bad, stubborn offense, but it is possible, though. That's the difference between him and Lovie Smith, that, and, you know, the constant adjusting on defense, which is total opposite to Lovie, because I was going to say it's almost like, you know, because I want to make it the perfect comparison, but it's not, because it'd be too convenient that this is just, you know, the Bears all over again, you know, Fibs is just Lovie and
Whitberg
is just going to be Trestman, but, you know, Fibs and Lovie are pretty different, though.
They're different, but overall, I think, I think Fibs with Derrick Rose and everything with the right situation could win a Super Bowl, or a Super Bowl, a championship,
yeah.
But I don't think Lovie Smith would ever win a Super Bowl, period.
Yeah, no, it's totally impossible. That's why.
And now we got the white Lovie Smith with the Bears. But
yeah,
I'm going to have some Ben Gordon highlights on now. He's like the craziest. He's as crazy as Rose was in Rose's top form.
Yeah, I know, offensively, and his shot was insane. And he'd shoot in your face like, but he was like those like T-Mac Kobe guys where it's like he'll just pull up
that
his
era.
Face. Oh, yeah, and he had that sick crossover, too. So, like, Ben Gordon was just the man, and he could drive even and do crazy layups. Like, and Rose always gave him the ball outside. They had excellent chemistry. Like, that's why I was so mad when they let Ben Gordon go. It's like, yeah, he rotted away because it didn't fit in that system. Like, you don't go from, like, one of the best offensive players to some, like, average bum in no time because of your skill level. It's because of the team you're playing for. That's what I was saying, too. I've said all along they should bring Ben Gordon back for cheap. Like, they should – should know this whole time. He's still in the NBA now, so he's not even like falling off the wagon yet. They should even trade for him.
I don't know about now. He's pretty old. He's getting pretty old. Like,
but yeah, but even just to hit a shot, because no one can shoot
true.
At all. It's like at least he'll hit a shot and, you know, shoot in your face.
The Bulls have to hope that Tony Snell is going to be kind of like a Luol Deng eventually. At least won't be as good of a defender, but you got to hope he hits that corner three consistently, especially with Hoiberg. He has to be there, Hoiberg. He has to be that.
And it's like watching Snell. His flaw is, like, even if his defense is good, like, at the end of the day, you're not going to be LeBron just because of length. Like, even
yeah.
Butler, like, struggled a lot. And with that game-winning jump shot, that's because his arms are – because LeBron's one of those guys where, you know, you put a hand in his face, it doesn't do anything, but you put a hand, you know, close to the ball, it actually, like, affects the shot. But with guys like Butler, like he struggled well enough. He did a good job, but you need – well, Kawhi can only do it because of his wingspan, but the reason why Diaw is able to do it just because he's taller. And then with Snell, it, like, he can't guard guys like LeBron, but Dang can. So it's like you need more length. Like Snell honestly would have been a bust, but Thibodeau would build him out.
Well, with like a guy like Kawhi on LeBron, where what he has that Butler doesn't have is when LeBron went into the post with Butler, LeBron got whatever LeBron wanted. When he goes in the post against Kawhi, Kawhi's got a little bigger frame down low. He's a stronger player. So Kawhi's the ultimate LeBron stopper. But even at that, LeBron still averaged a crazy amount of points. He just limited more. It mattered. You're never going to stop a guy like LeBron. It's like you're never going to stop a guy like Jordan or Kobe.
Oh, yeah. But
you know, Kawhi, that's the difference between Kawhi and Butler. Is Kawhi can actually guard in the post. Butler got killed in the post. As soon as LeBron went down there, it was over.
Yeah, but it's like even with that, like the whole Fibs defense on LeBron, to like, oh, he can't stop LeBron. It's like, okay, we got to pull up the Greg Punzo like ancient history facts. So it's like, so basically with let me get this up. Okay, so basically in 2008, you know, he's there and everything. They have the big three, and then Fibs made LeBron shoot 35% in 2008. And then in 2010, here on Late Night Sports Talk, when I predicted the Celtics are going to the finals and they were, like, totally dead, when they went up against LeBron again, it was the first – they were down 2-1, and then LeBron, you know, team adjust, and they were, like, beating Tim's system. And then he started getting a huge adjustment, and they made him shoot under 34% for those remaining three games to upset him in six games after being down 2-1. And then in – 2000. This doesn't make any sense. Oh, this was with the Derrick Rose stat, which was, by the way, 48% in 2011 without. This doesn't actually. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I have like so many notes. I get like all my stats mixed up now. yeah. Okay. So in 2012, I don't know what year this is, but when they played LeBron without Thibs, LeBron shot 48%. It says 2011, but that doesn't make sense. I don't know what year it was. 48%, and then 55% without Thibs, then 57% without Thibs, and every single series since LeBron shot under 44% in every single series and combined. So it's like this whole Thibs not being able to stop LeBron, like he's stopping him better than anybody in the NBA other than the Spurs. But even with the Spurs, statistically, Thibs has shut him out way better than anybody else. And you know, he held him out even this series for like the first, you know, three games, he totally shut him out. Even past that, he's still guarding him really well. So this whole, like, oh, Fibs can't beat LeBron. Well, he doesn't have a team to beat LeBron because he's beating him defensively. But, again, you know, the whole Fibs defense thing, like I said last show, yeah, it's funny. And, you know, for me, it's like, oh, okay, you know, coach, you're down. You're losing 2-0. What's the problem? And we need better defense. They gave up 2 points. It's like, yeah, it's funny and entertaining. But at the end of the day, he's literally that crazy. And that's, like, an actual problem.
Yeah, I mean, if he just had – If he had anybody to run the offense, they would be – or at least if they could hit a shot as well. That was the main thing. I mean, if you think about it, if they just shoot decent in that series, they win. They win that series, and they probably go to the finals and could actually beat Golden State, except Golden State would probably win because obviously they can't shoot. The Bulls can't shoot. But seriously, that's all they needed. They needed one guy every game to hit a shot consistently, and basically every single game in that series, basically this whole playoffs, except for the times Mike Dunleavy got hot, nobody could shoot. Rose got hot here or there, but he's never going to be a three shooter. That was the most frustrating. That was the most frustrating. Like they didn't really. I mean, they turned the ball over, but not as bad as in the past. They couldn't hit a shot. That's it. That was at the end of that story. They didn't even get out coached. They got out offense because at one point, I was watching a game and I'm like,
it
looked like 2011. It was just rubber isolation.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm like, what are you doing? Just pass.
Yeah, I know. It's because
run a play.
It's like even still with the like dumb stuff where they're like not running plays and everyone's standing around. Like even still, at the end of the day, the shot was open and it was missed. So it's like as awful and as it looks, like still at the end of the day, they're taking open shots. So that was my whole thing. Like, you know, defending Fibs in that situation was, it's like, even though his offense is horrible and could be so much better, like, they still had a lot of open shots, and it's like a lot of it is, you know, player decisions and stuff. But still, but also that stat I mixed up, and the year was correct. What it was with the Celtics was, you know, he held LeBron 35%, 34%. And then with the Celtics, so, you know, you say, oh, well, that was Paul Pierce guarding LeBron. No, because in 2011 when the Celtics played Fibs, LeBron shot 48% as soon as Thibs left. The year he leaves, so he goes from 34% to LeBron shooting 48%. Same exact roster. The only difference is Thibs is gone. That's a huge difference. Then this is for the entire playoffs. And then the following year, 2012 against the Celtics, he shot 55%. So, and then in 2010 with the Bulls, right before Thibs got there, LeBron shooting 57. And then literally the year, exact year, Thibs comes in and beyond, he shoots 44. So it's like Thibs is actually the LeBron stopper. Like, nobody stops LeBron better than Tom Thibodeau. So that's the yeah.
And what's going to happen when the LeBron stopper, as we say, goes to Cleveland, teams up with LeBron when Black is fired?
Hey,
he's an idiot.
Nobody's going to stop LeBron.
What's impressive with this Cavs run, granted it's a little, I guess it's not really off topic, but he's doing it with, like, just a bunch of random dudes. I mean, J.R. Smith's been huge for the Cavs, and so has Shumpert at times, but he's coaching that team. Blatt was calling timeouts on the floor when they didn't have any. That, what an idiot. That dude's a moron. Why? I don't know how. If he's a coach, me and you should be, like,
yeah, and that's and Jason Goff had,
coaches.
And Jason Goff had a good point, because, like, you know, I said, like, this can't really win a title without a superstar, but it's like, well, and that is true, but it's like, then his response to that on Twitter was like, "Oh, so but David Blatt is a championship coach." It's like, "Oh, that's a you know true point." Like if Thibs had LeBron, it's like, you know, a whole championship coach and not championship coach. That basically just means unless you have like a million superstars. But Thibs only needs one. Like all he needs, like literally the perfect thing is Kobe and Thibs, because those are like the two most get along guys ever. Kobe runs the offense, takes every shot. Doesn't matter if Thibs doesn't have an offense. And then just like work ethic wise, like Kobe comes down and, you know, takes a million shots, and then Thibs comes down, you know, and runs him through a grueling workout, so he works out even more than he did on his own. It's like that, just that's the perfect combination. Like that's the ultimate, like you have Kobe and Thibs, and then the rest doesn't matter. You have the most scrappiest guys of all scrappy guys, like just a bunch of bums who get rebounds and play defense and everything else, and just Kobe and Thibs can win a final all on their own. Like literally that's like the perfect combination right there. But, you know, Kobe's obviously past his prime. It's not going to happen. But then,
imagine if the Bulls would have just got Kobe for Luol Deng.
Oh, my God. That's another Star Pax thing. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. So you passed. Dude, you literally could have had Kobe, Aldridge.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe, Aldridge, and Raymond Green and all
and
these
ben
guys.
Gordon.
How did we forget about this, the whole Kobe thing that they passed up on?
Well, they might have had to trade Ben Gordon with Luol Deng. I don't know.
But,
it
like, but you got Kobe like before the Lakers even won those titles. Like you have Kobe in his prime.
God, the best version of Kobe.
Yeah, Garpacks are the worst GMs ever. Like I'm the biggest Garp. Like it's not even my Tom Thibodeau thing changed. Like to, you know, he has the same flaws. It's mostly I just think Garpacks are complete idiots and totally suck now. Like for me, it's just Garpacks changed. Like they didn't change at all. It's not like I think, you know, better of them or anything at all. It's just I hate Garpacks more than ever. But did you have any like last thoughts in terms of on the flow? Because I don't even know if this is recording right now. It says it doesn't show anything, but it hasn't cut us off yet. Just to make sure we're still getting this all in the archive. Do you want to end this and go to part two?
Yeah, I don't have too much more left, but yeah, we can do another part two. I just want to talk playoffs in general.
All right, so we'll everyone go to part two.